This is a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation.
I would like to acknowledge the Turnbull Nation, who are the traditional custodians of this land, and I also would like to pay my respects to the elders past and present, and to the Turnbull Nation, and extend to the respect to those Aboriginals that may be present today.
Thank you, Murray. Hi, everybody. I'm Annette Ferguson, and I'd like to welcome you to Dog Guide Handlers Australia 2023 conference. Give yourself a round of applause. Thank you, everybody, for coming. You've travelled from far and wide to be here today. We have people from every state except for the Northern Territory, and we also have 39 dogs, which is pretty amazing. Can I start with a question? What was your favourite dog tale last night? Stonehenger. That was a winner. I agree. That was my favourite as well. Okay, so before we get started, I'm just going to do a little bit of a housekeeping run. I've got a few bits and pieces to tell you. So listen up. First of all, let me describe the room layout. You've walked into a rectangular room from one of the long sides of the room where there are two doors. Oh, actually, there's only one door open, I think. I'm standing at the short end of the room, and there are 9 big round tables with about 8 or 9 seats on each table spread throughout the room. If you'd like to orient yourself, I know it's difficult when there's a microphone. You can't tell where the speaker is, so I will just turn the microphone off and make a noise so that you can see where I am.
So I'm here. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you. Okay, we have a hearing loop today in the room. We also have some Auslan interpreters who will be at the front of the room to your left. None of our presenters this weekend have PowerPoint presentations. There's absolutely nothing to see. We have a couple of presenters who have things to feel, and they will describe them and tell them where you are, you know, when it's their turn to talk. Dog toilets, I'm hoping that most people have found where the dog toilet area is. If you go out of this room, turn right, turn left again. Halfway down that wall, you'll come across some glass doors. You can go out those glass doors and across a pedestrian crossing, and you'll find a dog toileting area, which is a long strip of grass outside of the building. And there is a garbage bin there as well. The garbage bin is towards the front of the building, I believe. I hope it's still in that spot.
Yes,
to the left. Sorry?
It is because I just went there.
Thank you. It is because someone just went there. So the human toilets are a little bit past those glass doors, and they're on your right, and they're just before the lifts. Outside of the room will be where our food and tea and coffee lives. In case of emergency, which we're not going to have an emergency, are we? Good. In case of emergency, there will be a lot of staff available, I believe, to help us get out to the front of the building, and we'll assemble on the grass or we'll go across the road to the park. Okay, what else do I need to say? There are water bowls outside for the dogs. So if you go out of this room, turn right, turn left, you'll come to some glass doors that lead out to the pool area. There are some water bowls for the dogs out there. You can also get to the dog toileting area. Let's not go there. We decided against that. Sorry. Water bowls. We have some fabulous volunteers here today. We have Diane Shattuck from Guide Dogs New South Wales, and we have a friend of mine, Helene Johansson. We also have other people who may be around, and the standard communication, if you need help, is to put your hands straight up in the air and wait patiently. We have some sighted people who will come and help you, ask you what you need. And that communication also doubles for wanting to ask a question. We have two roving microphones today, and we can get one of our volunteers to bring a microphone to you if you have your hand up. We have question and answer sessions throughout the day at the end of the each presentation. So we have a limited number of questions. We'll make time for three questions for each presentation. And, yeah, putting your hand up, we'll get a microphone to you. Now, it's really important that you speak through a microphone because we are recording this whole conference and it will be available on our website after the conference. It will give us a couple of weeks to organise it, but... for anyone who couldn't go to the conference, you know, you'll be able to hear the whole thing. And we're recording through the microphones. So if you call out from somewhere, it won't be picked up. We have a photographer coming at around 12 o'clock today. His name is Dale. He has not had a great deal to do with people with low vision or dog guides, but we've given him a little bit of training and... he's very kindly offered for free to take photos of us. He'll be taking some photos in the room. He'll also be taking photos after afternoon tea. We'll all be heading over to the park across the road. We're going to get a large group photo. Then we're going to get the people who are not handlers to just step to the side and we'll get a photo of the 39 dogs that are here today. And then we'll get a photo of the committee. So that's kind of how things are going to happen. There will be opportunities for you to grab a couple of friends and get your own conference photo. Helene Johansson, one of our volunteers, she's the official photography assistant, and she'll be around making herself known to you and offering you opportunities to get your photos taken. So just let us know if you'd like a photo with you and your partner or you and your dog or you and your group of friends. We totally encourage that. What else? If you are someone who has special dietary requirements, there is a table with your special food on it and there'll be a staff member there also to assist and let you know which food is which. We have quite a few different dietary requirements. And just a little reminder, just introduce yourself to people. If you're standing near someone and you have no idea who they are because you can't see them or you've never met them before, just say, hi, my name's Annette, or whatever your name is. Don't tell them you're Annette, please. Yeah, just be friendly. Like, there's a lot of people here who have never been to a conference before and they don't know anybody, and kudos to them for coming on their own. Okay, just also a reminder to leave space for everyone to talk. Sometimes people get a little bit carried away and they want to dominate the conversation, but we'll let you know if you're doing that because we want space for everyone to speak. And particularly on the topics around taxi and rideshare refusals or refusals and access in general, they're very heated topics at the moment. We want you to stay focused on what the presenters are presenting because all of our presenters are here to share solutions to the problem. They're not solutions that are going to happen overnight. We're not guaranteeing you that we're fixing this problem overnight because it's a really, really big one. But we want you to really focus on asking questions and listening to what potentially can be done to help with this problem. All of the speakers will get a 10-minute warning bell. That'll give them, you know, a couple of minutes to wind up their presentation, and it will give us time as well for questions and answers. And as I said before, we're only going to have a couple of questions. Our speakers are mostly hanging around. Not all of them are here all weekend, but some of them will be around for you to ask questions of after their presentation. And the MC job this weekend is being shared by four different people. This morning we've got Claudia Stevenson, This afternoon we've got Katie Butler, tomorrow morning we've got Murray Stone, and tomorrow afternoon we've got Nadia Mariazzo. Oh, I hope I pronounced your name properly, Nadia. And now we're just about to do a roll call. It's really useful for all of us to know who is in the room. So I'm going to pass a roving microphone around, or Diane Shattuck is going to pass a microphone around. We want to keep this really short and sweet. We'd like to know your name, your dog's name if you have one, and where you're from. That's it. We have plenty of time over the weekend for you to share your life story, but we need to keep this really short and sweet. So here goes. I'm Annette from Dubbo, and my dog's name is Leo.
My name's Nina, I'm from Travel Paws, and this is my guide dog, Nixon.
Okay, my name's Denise, I'm from Melbourne, and my dog's name is Hendy.
Hello, my name's Ian, I'm from Mornington Peninsula in Melbourne, and my dog's name is Vixen.
My name's Donna, I'm a support worker, and I'm from Albury.
Hi, my name is Jeanette, and I've got Hayley, and I'm from Albury as well.
Hi, my name is Melinda, and I'm a carer. I'm from Victoria.
Good morning, Damo McMorrow from Vision Australia, based in Brisbane, and I have my seeing eye dog Ebony with me.
Thanks, Greg Madsen, with my guide dog Memphis.
Erica Webb, and I'm Douglas, and I'm from Perth.
I'm Margaret Boo from the Central Coast in New South Wales, and my dog's guide dog's called Ebony.
My name's Scott, I'm from Sydney, and my dog's called Molly.
I'm Andy, I'm from Camperdown in Victoria, and my dog's name's Zorba.
My name is Natalia. I am a support worker. I'm from Brisbane.
Hi, this is Stephanie Hu from Victoria, and my dog is Misha.
Hello, it's Nicole from the Sunshine Coast, and my dog is Olsen.
Hello, I'm Katie Kerr. I'm an independent O&M and GDMI, and I'm from the Sunshine Coast, Brisbane.
Hi, I'm Dave Byers. My guide dog is Harvey, and I'm from Gladstone, Central Queensland.
Hi, I'm Jenny. I'm a social carer, and I'm from Melbourne.
Hi, my name is Karen. I'm from Perth, and my dog is Nico.
Hi, my name is Edna, and I'm from Melbourne, and my dog's name is Yanni.
Nadia, Melbourne, seeing eye dog, Abby.
Hi, John from Wonderful Foster with my guide dog, Yowie.
Hi, everybody. I'm Linda from Foster, and I'm supporting here this weekend. Thank you.
My name is Silvana. I'm from Melbourne. My dear guide dog, Mel.
Hi, Ra. My name is Lauren. I'm Silvana's support worker, and I'm also from Melbourne.
I'm Justin Hardman from Armada with my guide dog, Kelsey, fifth one.
Hi, I'm Stephen Hayden. I'm a support worker from Armadale. Hello, I'm Ilona from Albury, and my seeing eye dog is Zoe.
Hi, my name's Amy, and I'm a support care worker from Sydney.
Hi, I'm Wendy, and I've got a guide dog called Daisy.
Hi, it's Jen from Tassie. I have seeing eye dog Nellie.
Hi, I'm Diana. I'm from Hobart, and I have my seeing eye dog Bertha.
Hi, Rowena from Sunshine Coast with guide dog Lucy.
And Colin.
Yes, I'm here. Hello, this is Colin from Sunshine Coast, and I'm also dogless.
Hi, Jason Stankowski, General Manager of Staple Working Dog.
Good morning. David Saxberg. I have a staple dog named Gizmo, and I'm from Brisbane. There you go, Tyler.
I'm Tyler from Brisbane, and my four-legged partner in crime is Olive from Staple Working Dog.
Hi, I'm Chaz from Brisbane, and I'm here with Dirk, my staple working dog.
Hi, I'm Mary, and I'm here with puppy in training, Lonnie.
Hi, I'm Serena. I'm on the staple waiting list.
Hi, I'm Emily. I've got my guide dog, Annie, and I'm from Brisbane.
Hi, I'm Narissa. I'm the admin and one of the support team for Staple Working Dog.
Hi, I'm Jenny with my wing dog, Holly, and I'm from Melbourne / Gold Coast / Melbourne / Gold Coast.
Hi, I'm Murray. I've got my guide dog, Carly, and it's with a K, and we're from Tamworth, New South Wales.
Good morning, everyone. It's Roz here from Bundaberg with Ringo, a seeing eye dog.
Hello, it's Katie Butler here. I've got Sadie, the guide dog, and I'm from Newcastle.
Here, Kathy. Hi, I'm Kathy Egan, and I'm on the wait list for another dog.
I'm Anna Gigliotti-Scret, independent dog guide instructor from Adelaide.
Hello, I'm Tony Burrett from Bindi Maps in Sydney.
Lester from Vision Australia Seeing Eye Dogs, Client Services Manager.
Claudia Stevenson from Melbourne with Guide Dog Poppy.
Paul Adrian, I work currently with Vision Australia Seeing Eye Dogs and RSBC Differently in South Australia.
Hi, I'm Steve. I'm a training instructor from Seeing Eye Dogs Australia.
Hi, I'm Melanie from Guide Dogs Victoria, Melbourne, and my guide dog is Desso, also known as Desi.
Hello, my name is Diane and I'm from Melbourne, so here supporting Melanie.
Hello, I'm Chelsea. I'm a guide dog trainer from Guide Dogs New South Wales ACT.
Hello, my name's Lee and I'm also a guide dog trainer from Guide Dogs New South Wales.
Hello, I'm Louise from the Central Coast New South Wales and I'm a support person for my good friend Angela.
Hi, I'm Angela with my beautiful guide dog Piper and I'm from the Central Coast and Ireland.
Yeah, hi, I'm Warwick. This is Warwick Best from the Gold Coast and with Seeing Eye Dog Oslo.
Hello, I'm Bev Best with my dog King Alfred from the Gold Coast as well.
Good morning, my name's Anthony and I'm a support worker from the Gold Coast.
Good morning, it's Kirsten Busby from Sydney with Seeing Eye Dog Kimber.
Hi, I'm Amanda from Adelaide, and my assistant's dog is Rudolph, the Cavalier Spaniel.
I'm Joyce Jones from Toowoomba, and I have Todd from Guide Dogs Queensland.
That's the roll call, but I just want to include Stacey, who's got a hand up, and the Auslan interpreters.
Stacey from Hunter Valley with Guide Dog Tamale.
Courtney from Brisbane, one of the interpreters.
And I'm Steve, the other interpreter, also from Brisbane.
Oh, I did me. I'm Douglas. Oh. Okay. Is this microphone on? Yes. Thank you, everybody. What a crazy mix of people. Very nice to meet you all. We've got people from all over the place here. We've got our presenters. We've got representatives from our three major schools, Staple Working Dogs, Guide Dogs and Seeing Eye Dogs. It's going to be a great weekend. As I said, Claudia Stevenson is our MC for the morning, but I've actually just asked her if I can introduce our first speaker. So here goes. Some of you know I work for Guide Dogs Victoria, and I had the pleasure of working for Ian Edwards as he filled the interim CEO position over the last year. I think he stepped down in April. And we've invited Ian to this conference to talk about leadership and how to use your voice when you're in either a formal or informal leadership role. So please welcome Ian to talk to us about leadership.
Thank you all for the opportunity to come along and speak today. Is that working? Yes,
that's working.
I'll just sit the dog down. That's the introduction was great. It's actually good to see so many organisations here who represent dog guide services, from Stable to Vision Australia to Guide Dogs. It's actually great to see representation from the organisations, but great to see so many clients here who are accompanied by their guide dogs, or people accompanied by their guide dogs. That's incredible to see so many people here today. And what I wanted to do today is talk a little bit about leadership and leadership in the role of, not just formal leadership, but formal informal leadership and advocacy, and how the power of lived experience can influence not just you as an individual as a leader, and everybody in this room is a leader in many ways, particularly those, you provide leadership to your dog every day. So it's just a natural skill of everybody sitting in this room, and it's about how do we actually leverage that leadership to actually make a difference, broader, and I guess a broader effect than just your immediate connection with your dog, but your community and in society, and look at what societal and the different societal changes we can make to ensure we can build a more inclusive, accessible community for all people. What I mean sort of by lived experience, it's about, individuals or personal unique perspectives or insights which they've gained through, I guess, living their life. So that the challenges that they've faced, the opportunities they've had in their lived and the day-to-day ups and downs, and what that means in relationship to the knowledge they've gained, which can actually influence and be able to change the way our policymakers are and change organisations in the way they deliver services and support to individuals who are blind or have low vision. Now, I'm hoping this isn't going to come across too much on the microphone, because my headphones didn't work this morning. So is that Jaws coming across here, or is it not good? That's perfect. It's always quite good when you've come along and you set yourself up and you sort of pop your headphones in and they actually don't work. So the beautiful technology, and I haven't asked for any assistive technology people in the room to help set it up. So basically I want to share some of my experiences. So myself as an individual, I said, when we talk about formal leadership, we talk about leadership where you might hold a position or a formal sort of position. So my experience, I've been on the board of Guide Dogs Victoria for 10 years. I was chair of the board for 3 years. And as Annette spoke, I've spent a year as interim CEO of Guide Dogs Victoria while they were seeking a new CEO after the stepping down of our previous CEO. My daytime job. I actually am an operations director in a metropolitan health service in Melbourne. And my role there is an operations director. I look after our community and what we call our community ambulatory services. So what that means is any services that you receive where you're not in a hospital bed, I basically manage. So whether it's medical services like our specialist outpatients clinic, so if you need to see an orthopedic specialist or a plastic surgeon or an endocrinologist, you know, for your diabetes, whatever it might be, those sort of services sit under myself. Also, a lot of our allied health or rehabilitation services, so if you need a physio or an occupational therapist or dietitian, there's all those different services, whether it's in a centre or whether you receive those care at home, I look after those. Our dental services, but also a lot of our other services like our family violence services or alcohol and drug services, counselling services, children's services. So pretty well a range of service, which also include from children right through to the older person in our aged services. I also manage quite a large NDIS service for predominantly allied health services, providing supports to individuals. So I guess what I've got, I just want to share some of the experience I've gained as a person who is blind and has low vision, and I now am working with my fifth guide dog. So I've been, I originally graduated as a physiotherapist back in the early 90s and practiced as a practicing clinician for quite about 20 years and then moved more into management and leadership. And I guess it gave me an opportunity to actually think broader than the services and care I provided to an individual, but start to think about as a health sector and looking at systems around how we better deliver care to people. And using my lived experience, I've had a very strong passion around equitable healthcare. So ensuring people with diversity of diverse needs all receive equitable access to healthcare, and that's including people with disabilities. So one of the things that through my leadership at the health service was very much around making sure the voice of the individual is heard as far as anything we do in relationship to the redesign of our healthcare systems, our healthcare models. So it's not as myself as a professional or our medical team thinking this is what we should be doing because that's what people need. It's really making sure we proactively engage our diverse communities, whether it's people with disabilities, whether it's our LGBTIQ plus communities, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, or people with cultural or linguistic diversity. We want to make sure all our groups are well engaged in what our services might look like. So it's taking what I call a human-centred design approach to care. So I think one of the things what we encourage then, obviously, people who are in these population groups where they've got particular special needs or diverse needs, and in reference to people with disabilities in healthcare, it's really important that when people present at health services, we're not just addressing their health issues and their health needs, which is important and critical, but we're taking into account their disability needs and so what they require in ensuring that they have a really positive experience and a positive outcome. We know people with disabilities in healthcare often have a less experience and a worse outcome when engaging with health services. So it's about closing that gap and closing and ensuring that people do have equitable access to healthcare despite their disability. So what it means for me as an individual who is blind and low vision, particularly when I was in the role of CEO of Guide Dogs Victoria, I think what in a formal leadership and what lived experience does, it helps with that authenticity around building credibility and trust, both with the staff of the organisation, but also with our range of stakeholders, that's our partners, our supporters, or the end users, the people that we provide services to. I think it's one of the things the Disability Royal Commission is demonstrating, it's absolutely critical organisations have within their decision makers people with lived experience. But that doesn't come without challenges. And I think this is where, you know, as people who are blind and low vision can actually really support organisations to be able to be better at decision making around people, you know, people who have low vision or blind or have low vision. When I first joined the board of Guide Dogs Victoria, the board's role is to provide strategic direction, support the policies of the organisation and set the culture within the organisation that actually what we expect all of the staff to be able to demonstrate. But the board, when I joined there, the board pack was completely inaccessible. So my role is to be able to make support, have oversight around what's happening within the organisation. And this is not unique to Guide Dogs Victoria. This is the challenges with all governance across all companies. It's about how do we ensure the actual board is inclusive and accessible. So therefore, people with a disability can actually be able to provide that leadership, that lived experience and that influence around organisational decision making. So there's a lot of work that was done in relationship to ensure that so the board packs actually were accessible. So therefore I was able to equally contribute with my sighted peers on the board to enable good governance and good oversight of the organisation and set that strategy. Similar in organisations, in organisations need to be able to support people with disabilities to be in senior leadership roles to ensure that the organisation can execute the strategy and basically reflect the needs of the people that they serve. Again, that's part of what we need to be able to do as organisations is actually think about how do we ensure our organisation is inclusive and accessible so people can actually do their jobs and do them like they're similar or equal to their sighted peers. And that's about within the organisation, it's about the policies around how policies need to be inclusive of actually how they operate, how the business operates, which is actually ensuring the equitable access to all the systems within the organisation. Having good accessible policies, so how information is communicated through organisations, how the systems operate to ensure that they are accessible. And I think organisations like Vision Australia and Guide Dog organisations, we need to set that example, be a role model within across the sector and be a role model then broader to other organisations. We need to be able to, within our own organisations, ensure that we provide an inclusive, accessible workplace and be able to then support other organisations to be inclusive and accessible. So therefore, more people with disability can move into jobs or positions in organisations which enable them to be able to provide that leadership within the organisations. I want to talk a little bit, so that's a bit about formal leadership. But not all, we can make a lot of influence and a lot of difference outside our roles of, not everybody in this room is a board director or a CEO or an executive in an organisation or a manager within an organisation. But everyone can actually contribute to building a more inclusive, accessible communities and changing society's stereotyping or narrative around people with disabilities. That people with lived experience can add enormous value to how organisations operate and how policy is set across Australia. And that through particular advocacy. So advocacy really benefits from people with lived experience. People with lived experience have so much credibility when it comes to actually advocating for a particular cause. And I think Annette spoke earlier, there's going to be lots of discussions around taxi refusals. But advocacy is something that we can all contribute to. And there's ways that we can advocate more effectively and actually have a greater influence in decision-making across and be able to support, those changes that we're looking for in relationship to whether it's access or whether we're looking at how employment, whether it's training, education, or if you're just engaging or participating more in our community. So basically, those who have lived through particular challenges can really passionately advocate for sort of causes because they've experienced that and they, through their real life experience, can really, articulate what were the challenges and also start to think more diverse with greater diversity around what those possible solutions would look like, because those solutions are coming from people that are actually facing those challenges and who have often got some great ideas. What we often say is, you know, people with lived experience who advocate, what the research demonstrates is they actually have a greater impact when it's coming from someone who's with lived experience sharing that story or sharing that message than someone who doesn't. So what we find is, you know, the more people that are engaged in provision of advocacy, the greater the impact or the greater the effect in relationship to having an influence around the changes that are needed and required. What I want to particularly think about then, I spoke about effective advocacy. So how can we more effectively advocate for the causes that we're very passionate about that actually ensure that we can build the changes that are required, whether it's about engaging in our community, whether it's about engaging in workplace or work employment or in education and training. One of the things, it's about doing it together. It's about working together, working in partnership or building coalitions. Again, the greater the voice, the greater the number of people involved around the particular cause, the greater the chance of making a change. So it's about finding like-minded individuals and services. So that what I think is great here today, for example, we've got multiple services that actually support people who are blind and low vision all in this sort of room. And it's about how do we work better together rather than in competition. It's about how do we connect with our clients, our services, our carers, and more people involved in being able to actually work better together around a particular cause. Often what we find is the nature of organisations that actually commercially might compete with each other, but around an advocacy cause, how do we work better together and put those walls up, you know, pull those walls down around competition and actually be collaborative and work better together as far as in a coalition around advocacy. Networking, and again, it's about networking and forming alliances. Conferences like today actually give this great opportunity around, you know, I don't like often use the word networking, but it's a commonly used word, but networking. Chatting with people today, sharing stories with each other and having an opportunity to be able to voice those stories is a really effective way of advocacy and building that case for change. When we're thinking about advocacy and diversity, it's not just about people who are blind and low vision. Everyone in this room comes from different sort of backgrounds. So it's ensuring that when we're actually thinking about how to influence and make a change, it's thinking about the broader diversity. So it's around, as I said earlier, it's whether you're coming from Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander background or a different language background or different socioeconomic status or LGBTIQ+. So it's making sure that we contribute or consider a broader range of diversity beyond the disability with some of the influence or decisions that we're making. It's about effectively communicating. So I think to be a good advocate, it's about we need to have really good effective communications and making sure when we are communicating, we're actually communicating the message effectively. So coming when communicating, thinking about what's the knowledge or information that we need to be able to communicate. So being really quite clear on the research, the data, the information that we need to communicate, but focus mainly on the salient information. If we give too much information, then often it gets diluted in the message. So it's really being clear on what's the salient or the critical information that needs to be communicated. Then matching that clearly with the emotional element. So it's about the person's story, the people's story. So actually trying to build the emotion or the compassion around the actual message you're trying to deliver. So you bring the knowledge, you bring the emotion, and then the clear call for action. What do we want? What do we want the people, the decision makers, to actually do with the information we're providing? So being really quite clear in our communication. So it's the knowledge, the information, the emotion, the passion, and then the clear call for action to ensure that we actually are very effectively communicating what we're looking for in the change. It's important we tailor the information for the audience. So if you're talking to a minister or an MP versus a broader stakeholder group just about community to build community action, you might tailor your message differently and how you communicate that at a different level. So making sure we're understanding who our audience is and we tailor that communication very specifically for the audience. One of the things is to really identify who are the decision makers, and so making sure that we are actually working with the key decision makers around who can make a decision. And I know we're talking later about the taxi refusal. So who are the key people that we need to work with around influencing change in that space? So is it the driver, or is it the company, or is it the department in government that's responsible for transport, or is it all of them?
10 minutes to wrap up.
No worries. Thank you. On this. Yep, perfect. And it's also about building those positive relationships. So it's not about just understanding who those decision makers are, but where possible, really creating that relationships, getting them in our camp. So it's about if we're actually making decisions or trying to influence decisions around particular issues, and again, whether it's transport, employment, education, or just engaging or more accessible communities, it's making sure they're engaged and sitting in that camp and being part of those conversations and part of those discussions, rather than trying to do it from an outsider in. It's really finding out who those decision makers are and trying to engage them in that decision making process. Also really good about mobilising support, and it's about what we want to try and do is build community action and build a bit of a wave to try and ensure that more people know about the cause and actually behind that cause and help us more effectively deliver on that change. So it's really mobilising, and I think the use of social media events and campaigns are really effective of doing that. And we can do that better together if all the organisations can work better together and more collaboratively rather than doing it alone. Again, effective public speaking or communication and public speaking, it's about being confident in being able to publicly speak to the different audiences. It's about trying to, you know, overcome fear and anxiety around being public speaking and being more confident in speaking to the different audiences that you want to work with to try and influence and change what we're trying to improve. So I'm just repeating a bit what I just said here. So I'm just going through the notes. It's about engaging with the right people, engaging with policymakers, and making sure we try and get them involved very much in the early part of the conversations and not just at the end when we've packaged it all up. It's also about respectful advocacy. So what we often find with advocacy, if we can work more respectfully and work together in that advocacy, we're likely to get a better outcome rather than adversely or aggressively, often results in a poorer outcome. So how do we actually ensure that, yes, it could be very emotional, but how do we ensure that that emotion is around positive change and not moving towards an aggressive sort of response where it can often result in a poorer outcome? So how do we advocate individually and then as a group in a more respectful, empathetic, compassionate way and try and basically not be aggressive in our communications. Staying resilient, I think, is really important. So if you think about some of the big advocacy things that have occurred, like audio description on movies, that's taken 30 years to get to where we are today. So it started in the early 1990s, and we're now, I think, the SBS and ABC have just indicated that they're now, through free-to-air TV, has got some audio description. That's taken 30 years. So there needs to be a bit of resilience. I think Annette's mentioned earlier, it doesn't change overnight, and it's about starting the journey and starting the changes that we want to make, and actually we need to ensure that we're resilient around those sort of changes. Taking the opportunity to celebrate the small victories and really thinking about as we move along, it's around making sure we take the opportunity to stop, reflect and celebrate those victories around when changes do occur, and those opportunities around audio description. Now, I said we've now got free-to-air audio description, which I think is really worth celebrating for our community. Just want to finish with one quick thing. So just about informal leadership. So leadership's not always attached to a title. So whether you're a board director or a CEO or an executive or a manager, it can be very much around providing informal leadership. And a really good example of that, I want to probably reflect on Annette. So it's about Annette set up within Guide Dogs Australia, a network to engage staff members within the guide dog organisations who were blind or have low vision, to actually create a safe place and a forum for them to get together and have conversations and share stories and understand what some of the challenges are and what those possible opportunities are, and feed that up through to executive to look at, as an organisation, how as organisations are we better at supporting people who are blind and low vision. So that's a really good example of informal leadership. And I think informal leadership is absolutely critical. So it's not just about your role or your title. It's really important around taking those opportunities to be able to have informal leadership. I'll finish up there. So I just want to say it's advocate lived experience can really impact the way, I guess, decisions are made. And as everybody in this room has an opportunity to provide leadership in supporting, I guess, a more inclusive and more accessible society and community for people who are blind and low vision. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Ian. It's Claudia here. I'm just coming in on your right to hand you a little gift, a token of our appreciation. And there's a little card there as well.
This has been a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation. If you would like further information on Dog Guide Handlers Australia or like to listen to further audio, please go to our website, www.dgha.org.au. Thank you. Do you always have to have the last word?